welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 295.
Five.
You were a bit behind there.
No, 290.
Five.
Tier as five. In tier five.
Well, you never know. Could be tier 27. How do we know?
Anyway, Kim beat Johnny on a refresh.
Ooh, VAR.
Johnny appeared first, and I did a refresh.
Okay, I'm going to do that, and then we'll see what happens.
And then we're
it
going,
was Kim.
Then we're going to play a game, aren't we?
We are. Hang on, it was Kim. By a second, if that. Did I beat Johnny because he's trying to read his emails? Oh, I don't tell us the answer to that, Jonathan. I have the email list here to read out. Oh, yes, it's not thrown together, this show. Right, let's say hello to everybody first, Mike. Hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Alex. What have we got now? Hello, Anthony. Hello, Tracy. CQ, Deb. CQ. Oh, wow. Hello, Sarah. Hello, Simon. Key fail. Kim's got a question there. That's a good question for a topic, that.
It is.
How do you go about learning new software? I guess it's easier for us because we've done it so long. We've got a lot of previous experience to relate to the new software. So in essence, you're looking for the differences to what you already know. But that's a really good topic. Good grief, Caps issue again. Simon, because it's multiple keyboards, we're beginning to think it's you. Hello, Mrs. Simon. So, how are we all doing? Are we all poised for Boris at 8 o'clock? If you've not heard, you know, you're probably living on another planet, in which case, can you take me there with you? But Boris is talking at 8 o'clock.
Is that what they call it?
Making a proclamation, national lockdown, but he may be calling it something else, like a trip to the park. I don't know. And now, do you remember when we said, when he said no more tears, we said he'll bring something else in, like levels. Apparently, we already have levels.
It's no more tears like no more nails.
Yeah. No, we do. We have levels. We have levels 1 to 5. I did not know this.
Oh.
This is the impending danger level. So think like a disaster movie. You know, just close your eyes and picture the scene. Disaster movie. You know, sirens going off. We have level 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And today we went into a 5, which means the NHS is going to self-combust imminently. I did not know that.
I didn't.
So we can't have levels then because we've already got them.
You know, there were several City players tested positive for COVID.
Was this before, during or after the orgy they participated in?
Well, that's what I'm about to tell you. Because now 4 City women players have also...
Would you credit that? What a coincidence!
It's now rife through the club with both genders.
Dear, dear.
Sorry, I shouldn't say both genders, should I?
No.
2 genders.
Well, there could be 22 genders involved if there's 22 players, but does it matter? Some play for the ladies and some play for the gents, but the problem is they've all got COVID, which is nothing by comparison to my major calamity of the day, which is, brace yourselves, Notion's down. So everything I was planning to do today, didn't get done. I can't get to Notion. Well, I can. Mike's had an error that he can't get to Notion. I can get to Notion and I can see the page I'm trying to work with. And instead of having 13 records, it's got 3. So I can't touch it. If I touch it, I'm going to end up with a nightmare in terms of the stuff that I add now will probably get deleted when it comes back because there's no offline mode. So, Notion, not good day. Slack, offline. Simon managed to get in. I noticed that. I don't know how you managed that because it's actually offline.
He's back now.
For 5 minutes.
Sarah's computer's better.
Excellent.
She had a ghost drive.
Ooh.
Which is what I was looking at yesterday.
Right.
I wasn't sure how to fix it.
Sarah's all ready for a full lockdown as well. If he's talking, he's lying. Simon, I say that myself. His lips are moving. He's lying. He doesn't even have to be speaking out loud. Yesterday, he just looked like... He looks like an old duffer that's confused. Whereas somebody I didn't have much regard for which couldn't abide the sight of. Nicola Sturgeon has become all presidential all of a sudden. She sounds fantastic. She seems to know exactly what she's talking about. Oh, I did say, though, you know, when they were on the ascendancy, the Scottish National Party, and they were doing really well, I said to Mike, it would be a complete calamity for England if the Scottish Nationals stood in every constituency, because they've got a sneaking suspicion they might win. Good job she didn't try it, because I think she would. Right, he can't get over how much Boris looks like his father, and his brother looks like him as well. Even his sister looks like him. You can definitely see the family resemblance, absolutely. And baby Wilf as well. We're not seeing his face, but from the back, the hair, it's Boris. It's a little baby Boris. Oh, it wasn't a bad day at work for Jonathan. It was fairly good. Few things sorted. Got news, grandparents have their vaccine on Thursday. That's good news. You didn't have as many as you thought. Right, I'll go through the list. Right. We had... Kim was in first, and she said 250. I said 295, because today is 295. Mike said 299. Tracy said 167. And Jonathan said 340. With approximately 20 he would have to reply to, and 3 that he would want to reply to. So... over to you, young Jonathan. How many was it? Yes, starving again. How many are you saying? More than I have treats in my treat jar, she says. She's so funny. You've really taken to talking, haven't you? You were such a quiet, shy dog when you arrived. And now listen to you. She looks like, and 256, Kim was nearest. Oh, wow. Replied to 5 and didn't want to reply to any of them. I'm surprised you managed to get through 256. That's just scary. Right, where's that gone? Right, there it is. Need to pin that to the top so I can see it. Kim is the winner. Excellent, Kim.
You want your treat, don't you?
Tracy's going back to strict lockdown, no leaving town on the 7th, one day after the biggest Christmas holy day in the calendar. See where you're coming from, Tracy. Honest to God, do it the day before. You love the number 250. Well, it worked well for you this time. It did. So close, and yet I was so far away. But Kim's the winner.
Can we play our game now?
Yes, Mike's got a game to play with you.
I've got a game. You know, when we have Apple events, we play Apple Bingo. Well, I've just found this on Facebook. It's called the Boris Briefing Bingo. So we've got Alas, Come Together, To Be Absolutely Clear, Working Tirelessly, World Beating, Unforeseen, Random Latin Phrase. I've never heard that one.
No, he means like he'll throw a random Latin phrases.
Yeah. No One Wants. Laura Looks On Lovingly. Oh, that's Kunzberg, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
In This Together, We Will Beat This. Ramping Up. Rampant. Professor.
Bumble, bumble, bumble.
Our Amazing NHS. Soldier On. As We've Seen This Weekend. Unprecedented. Collective Duty. Not What I Wanted. It Brings Me Great Pain. Obscure Greek War Reference. With a Heavy Heart. Normality By Insert Date.
Well, he did say Easter, but he didn't say which one, to be fair. Oh, poor Sarah spent all day going through emails as well. Right, I think you should get that up somewhere. Can you save it as a picky and then share it to Cloudly or Droppler or somewhere?
Yes.
Presupposing Cloudly and Droppler are up.
Save photo. Photo saved.
I'll try and find out. Right, let's have a look. Hello, Pete. You're off for 3 weeks, almost through them all. Maybe able to do something tomorrow.
Somebody's done another one. Turning the tide with great sadness. Hands, face and space. Please stay at home. Let me be clear. Great British public. Testing capacity. Unprecedented. Sacrifice. Levelling up. Massive collective effort. Right, let me sort that one out.
Get these shared. Get them shared. Oh, good grief. Pete, just put it in Slack in random. So you can get to Slack as well. Slack wasn't working before. Oh. Come on, Slack. Come on, you can do it. Go on, go on. Are we in some kind of black hole here in the north? Slack's not working for me at all.
Had an email from Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
It says, hi, Mac.
Oh, that'll be to Mac, boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, it's not working.
Yeah.
No, Slack isn't working for me either.
We're confident these issues will be resolved soon. That sounds like Boris.
Oh, is it? Shall we play Notion Bingo? It's been down for 3 hours already. What do you mean by soon? Do you have a hemisphere in there?
We'll post updates every 30 minutes on Twitter. That assumes Twitter's not down.
And it's only Monday. It's only the first day back at work.
Monday.
In fact, we're not even back at work yet, just as well.
Pete's posted the same thing.
Yeah, he said he put it in Slack, but I can't get to Slack.
Oh, I can get to Slack.
The Slack app is not working. Telling you, not working. Dead. Monty Python's parrot. Even when I click on, you know, go to... No, it's not working. Oh, honestly, this is... It's like an animal. I've got to go to a browser to get to Slack. God almighty. Oh, I'm glad I'm not back today. Talk to sales. Don't get me going. Right, I'll try and log in. I'll try and get there, preferably before, you know, end of play today. Right, sign in with email. Now I've got to check my email for a code. Two factors all very well when your email's working. God, I want to go back to bed and listen to a book.
I logged into my emails today.
Go on, how many did you have?
I don't know, because Outlook on the web doesn't actually give you a number.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh, it does. Right. But seeing as I'm not officially back,
you're not officially back at work
until Wednesday, then...
Well, you can do anyway, go on.
Well, it depends what we're counting. Are we counting meeting invites? Are we counting out of offices? And are we counting you have new held messages because they've gone into our spam system? So I don't mean my own junk mail. I mean some central where somebody sends an email and it goes into this.
I think we should count everything, but we'll wait on what Kim says. Right, I'm finally in Slack 3 hours later. Right.
And do Teams notifications count?
Oh, I think you're going to beat Johnny hands down here.
No,
Jonathan counted everything, so count the lot. Go on.
205.
Not bad. Shall I go and have a look at mine? This won't end well, I fear. I get far too many. Are we counting everything?
Counting everything.
I think I've just about pipped Jonathan. Oh, hang on, another one's coming. 3,486. That needs dealing with, doesn't it? Yeah, command A, command
Oh, Mrs.
delete.
Simon has 13,000 emails unread.
Wow. Do you intend to read them, or is it just like, you know, one day I could just get rid?
I have a webinar called Master Your Mailbox.
If only you took your own medicine.
I have. I've got 4 mails in my personal mailbox.
4?
Well, I did have. I've had a few more now.
Are they unread? Stuff comes in faster than you can actually deal with it. What I will probably do with it, I can clear out like 1,000 just by, you know, delete. But they, if I'm not looking at my mail because I'm not at work, and I'm not looking at my mail anything like as many times a day as I would normally, then it does, that happens. Yeah, that happens. What's funny is when you go through it in batches and you find stuff like, have your best year ever, get organised and get to inbox zero, and you're thinking, do you know what? You are actively stopping me getting to inbox zero. And then you've got notifications for stuff. Oh, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. There are some that are maybe mildly interesting just to cast your eyes on, but mainly not. Oh, don't forget, because I've just got a mail about it. It's the Winterfest sale. And I think it finishes. Is it the 6th? It could be the 6th. But it's 25% off, and it's stuff you use, like DevonThink, Tembo, Tinderbox, Melal. So really useful software. Actually useful. See, that one's just in there. I have got the Notion outage one. What's interesting... Oh, no, I have. I've got one to me as well. Amazon Web Services are experiencing problems today. You do know why that's a major issue, don't you, Mike?
Yeah, because Notion's on there.
No. Much, much more significant than that.
Mm.
That's where MacBytes
is. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, the shows are on there.
Our shows are on S3. So if you can't hear anything on demand at the moment, that's why. But fear not, you can always come to MacBytes FM and have some MacBytes enjoyment, even when we're not live. So what else have I been doing? I've been playing with my PowerPoint, my beloved PowerPoint, so I've been quite happy.
No, the shows are playing.
That's all right. That's good
so,
news.
So then. Our bit's okay.
Our bit of S3 is yeah, okay. We've ring-fenced MacBytes for
our little
for
corner.
You. Yeah, we're okay.
No, if Ivan could just sort out his bit.
Yeah, we'd be fine. Mrs. Simon has filters in Gmail and she ignores the rest. Flick through the list a few times a day, rarely miss anything. You see, whatever works for you. Keeping it at less than 25,000 seems an achievement. Well, do you know, there's some people, like particularly where Mike's gone to train things, and the more emails they have, the better they feel about themselves. Just each to their own. Leave them be. See you, Jonathan. Last year, Sarah moved everything from the previous month into a folder to look at later. Work on the basis if it's important, they'll email again. Doesn't always work, though. No, that is a good way to go. I must admit, when things have been busy, I have deployed a DMZ, which is a demilitarized zone. So I put DMZ in cap, make a new folder, DMZ in capitals, colon, followed by whatever it is. So in your principle there, it would be 2020-12 and just dump the lot in there. And then I would look at them at my leisure. I think it's because when they're in my inbox, you get kind of mail blind. You know, is this something that I want to look at? Do I want to action it? Do I need to save it? And you get all overwhelmed. Whereas if they're in a DMZ, there you go. But does it really matter if they're in your inbox or not? I mean, I know it's quite nice to have that inbox zero thing. But let's be honest, it only ever lasts 2 seconds before something else comes in. Now, I do have that system that I demonstrated where I've got an extra account I use for notifications. And that one's fascinating because there's 2 mails in it. And they're only there because they look like I need to do something with them. But I look at the account and I think, is something missing? They're not loaded in yet. There is no problem wherever you keep them. Whatever. 18,818. Well, at least you've kept it to 8s and 1s, Anthony. Most of the stuff is thank you for your order notification. Exactly. Now, what I do with those, I do file those into the archive. And I put them in an expenses folder. But do you know, whenever you come to find anything, you've got to search the whole lot anyway. So I would actually probably just cope with inbox or archive and be done. But I do sometimes DMZ it. Your work mail is emptied completely. But that's all you need to worry about, Mrs. Simon. The rest of it doesn't matter. 2 inboxes at work, it's a nightmare. trying to send people, trying to get people to send to the correct one rather than sending it to both of them is really irritating. I totally agree, Sarah. Sometimes I get mails and I'm like, why have I got this? Because it's come to the at my domain is fine. But what they've done is they've guessed at the first bit and it's come into like a different place. And I'm like, you shouldn't be guessing. You should be sending it where I tell you to send it. Night, Pete. It is easier to search the lot because otherwise you've got to start adding criteria onto your search for folders and stuff. And to be honest, Google doesn't do well with that. It does much better with just a bold search where I put in, so say I'm looking for like a receipt for whisk. I would just put that in and the odds are I will find that. I think with Google, the biggest problem is it bringing back too many mails in the search. So you might as well just have the whole lot together. It doesn't make a difference. Outlook's a nightmare for finding emails. Can't find a thing.
If anyone didn't see what Pete posted in Slack, that's what that link is. It's the link to
Boris's, it's Boris Bingo, Boris's which we're all bingo. Playing at 8 o'clock tonight. Who's watching live? Let us know if you're watching live. We will be out before he starts to enable you to enjoy it. And then we will divvy up tomorrow night how we did on the bingo. So I intend to get that out and put it in an application where I can like put lines through it as he speaks. I will be playing Boris Bingo. I have used Outlook. I used Outlook until 2007, I think, or possibly 2008. And it was because all my mail was on there and I archived by month. So this was when mail was pop mail, not when it stays in the cloud. And I did it by month because it slowed down to such a degree. So it was okay for its time. But once I moved to... I moved from Outlook to the Mail app on the Mac, which was fine, you know, in its day, but I did have to leave it behind after a while. Once I moved to Google Mail, and Mike did this way before me. He said, I just use the...
browser.
A browser. You know, go to mail, gmail.com in a browser. And I'm like, no. You know, I felt I needed a wrapper around the mail to send mail places. So say I'd got a receipt and I wanted to make a PDF of it. I want to send it to Devonthink or something like that. Anyway, I've tried them all. I have tried them all. There was Spark, there was Postbox, there was Airmail. You name it, I've tried it. I have ended up with an app called Mailplane. But all it is a wrapper for Gmail. And the only reason that I have it there, to me, Mailplane's like Outlook. It gives me multiple tabs. So I've got my mail, my calendar, I could have my contacts, and I've got my notifications, which is a totally different kettle of fish, all in one wrapper called Mailplane. It's about, I think it's about £35-40, but the thing it gave me was the ability to send stuff straight to Devonthink. With clickable links, because sometimes just a pretty picture goes through. And that's the sole reason that I use it. But I could actually work in a browser now. So Outlook's so promising and yet it never quite delivers.
Our friend, who's a teacher at Stretford High,
yeah,
has posted the Boris's briefing bingo. So it's doing the rounds on Facebook.
I'm not surprised. It's hysterical.
He says, Boris is on at 8 o'clock. For each of the bingo statements, take a drink. It helps make the briefings make more sense. Edit the Gavin Williamson sheet. Now, for those that don't know, Gavin Williamson is our education minister. The Gavin Williamson sheet was violently ripped up accidentally on purpose whilst being put together. He's about as Tory as Simon is.
Yep. The thing is, they stand there and they bumble and they make no sense whatsoever. And I think it's because you don't actually see what they do. It's all words. And as you look back at what they've done, there's no actual, like, physical reminder of what they've done that you can eyeball and think, oh, my God, they were stupid. So I was watching this video on YouTube I got recommended it. And it, apparently it's a genre. It's like Urban Decay. And it was, because I thought of Paul, not that Paul's got Urban Decay, not that I'm aware of, but it was in Ohio. And it was basically this huge, huge shopping centre. And it was thriving and bustling. And then it ended up just abandoned. You should have seen the state of it. And this guy was taking you through the history of it. And he said, he explained what they'd done. And there was two particular bits. One bit was they'd built an underground car park. And then they put an overground car park on the top of it. And about 3 months later, this is during the build of it. 3 months after the top level car park was done, they dug it up again to put some foundations in for a building. And the other thing they did was there was a walkway between two parts of this massive, massive shopping centre. So you saw them building the walkway and it was finished between the two bits. And about 8 months later, they knocked it down because they needed to do something at one end. And he made this point and he was incredulous. And he said, did no one notice, you know, when they were planning it? And I just think if we could see, like you could see this car park, it was there and then they had to dig it up. You could see this walkway and then you saw them demolish one end of it. If you could see, if there was something physical that represented what Boris and his cronies have been up to, I think you would vote him out in a heartbeat.
You know, when you're at school.
Yes.
I mean, it probably happens in other countries as well as the UK. And you basically, there was two of you sat at a desk. One person would copy off the other. They'd slyly look across. There's this meme doing the rounds. Boris Johnson and Nicola Sturgeon. Boris is copying off Nicola.
She has to get him first. Yeah. Oh, and she does. She does. Oh, Paul in Ohio's in. I can't remember what this shopping centre was called, Paul. Was it the something Meadows? Rolling something. But it was in Ohio and there were two of them about 26 miles apart. And they were both bustling and thriving. And before you knew it, they were both derelict. Oh, you do have Urban Decay. There you go. 4 miles at one time, Eastland, Westland, Northland, I think Southland, none of them anymore. The thing was, I'll admit, this one as it opened, it did look very 70s. But some of them were absolutely gorgeous. One was like, the inside of it was white, but it was so beautifully done. Do I know where? I'll dig it out, Paul. It could be further south than you are. Let me see if I can find it. It was just totally fascinating. Totally fascinating. I didn't realise like where it was or whatever. It got recommended and I thought, I'll put that on, you know, while I do something else. And then I realised it was Ohio. And then I realised there were two in Ohio. So there was another video that followed that video. Right. So it'll be in my history. So if I go into my library and I go to my history. Mind you, you know me with YouTube. I've probably watched about 300 videos since last night. Let's have a look. The most fascinating one that followed that, it automatically went into play another one, was the abandoned toxic shopping mall. This was a Walmart one. Right, let me see.
I've had an email.
Nothing wrong with the email coming in then.
No. No, go it's on, from my friend. Kieran.
Yes.
He says, he's basically, Kieran is a guy who is the president of another circle. And he thinks the sun shines out of my backside when it comes to Zoom.
Yes, you are.
Anyway, he's doing a presentation on Thursday night. And he said, I've sent you the details of the meeting. I'm finalising my presentation and might be happier sending it to you as a backup, although I need to be controlling the presentation from my computer, otherwise it will take too long going from one slide to the next. I will practice.
Oh, bless him. Bless him.
Otherwise it's going to be next slide, please.
Next slide.
Next slide, next please. Next slide. Next slide.
Is this the one? Could it be Rolling Acres? Does that ring any bells? Rolling Acres Mall was one of them, but it doesn't say where it was. And obviously I can't watch the video right this second to find out where it was.
Now we've got an improvement.
On what?
On the error message.
Oh! Is it a better error message than it was?
It says Notion is unavailable. Please try again later.
Screenshot. Right, let's have a look. Is it in Ohio? Tell me this. Is it in Ohio? Yes, it is. It's in Akron. Or it was. It's a fascinating thing to watch. Because I think that was the one that was just so beautiful inside. I will send you a link to the video. Here we go. It's about 18 and a half minutes long, but it's fascinating. I sat and watched it, and I don't live there.
I'll stick it in your black hole, because that's working.
Right. He's talking to me, not you. Don't worry about that. Wondering what that was. I just thought that, like, I mean, Mal's came to the UK basically based on what happened in the States. So I would have expected that there would never be one that was closed down. Or if it was, it closed down. It maybe even knocked it down and rebuilt it. But these things aren't being rebuilt. They're just languishing there. And there's... I mean, this guy's got that many videos on them from different places, and he goes round and it's a genre on YouTube, apparently. But I thought that one was particularly interesting. One, because it had been such a success. And two, the minute it mentioned Ohio, I thought of Paul. Northeast, is it? Right, OK. Well, there was that one, and there was one close to there, about 26 miles away. But it's worth watching the video. Just, I'm like, how does that happen? There was one that I understood, just the one. It was an outdoor outlet, Mal. So something like Cheshire Oaks here, wouldn't it? That's outdoors. Mm. It was quite big. And it was right next to, is it a freeway or an interstate? A big road in the States and huge roundabout. And you're thinking, well, how did that one die? Because the catchment area for it was 13 million people, which would be like over a sixth of our population. And what had happened was they put a toll booth on the big road, literally six metres from the front door of this place, and people wouldn't pay. They wouldn't pay to come off. They wouldn't go through there and then immediately turn off the motorway. And that was how it died. This scary stuff. It was a freeway, was it? Right, well, one of those. Well, this one certainly wasn't free. It was tolled. We have a toll road, don't we? And we pay quite happily.
Yeah.
Imagine, we've seen Birmingham before. Once is enough. The toll road passes down what we call the M6, down to London. And it bypasses Birmingham. Now, Birmingham is where we've shown you pictures of a junction called Spaghetti Junction, which is just chaotic. So this... What do we call the toll road, basically, I think we call it. It goes past it. I think it's about £5, £7, something like that. But you know, if you've got all day, then don't go that way. Go on the normal one, and we'll see you a week on Wednesday. That's why we pay. It's easier. Mind you, we've not been down that way for ages, have we? And judging by Boris's spectacular tonight, nobody will be going anywhere. But you know what they're not stopping, which is criminal in itself. They're not stopping international travel. So apparently, go and see Kim. But I can't see the lady next door.
Mm.
Mm, strange, isn't it? There are no words. I just keep saying, there are no words. It's just idiocy. Cleveland doesn't have to build any more homes as people aren't moving there. And that was a few years back. Wow. Well, one of them was this Mal. It was an out... They moved in what they called anchor stores. And one of them was Walmart. And Walmart moved into their premises first. So what had happened was they'd got this land and it wasn't doing anything. So they decided they would build this. Could be a mall, could be an outlet centre type thing. But Walmart moved in there first while the construction was going on around them. So it actually looked, we would say it was a retail park here. But I don't know if that's a term that you use. The difference between a mall and a retail park, a mall is like one building and all of the shops are in it, although the anchor stores have the ability for people to enter them from the outside of the mall. And a retail park is where it's just huge versions of stores all together in the same location. This one looked more like a retail park they were building. And the Walmart was there and it was open. And it had been open for 3 years. They built some of the others, but they hadn't like joined the dots. So there was another huge building quite close to the Walmart one, but there was a gap between them. And they were supposed to be building in the gap between them. Until it became known, and this must have been approved at kind of council level. I've actually seen one of those with Apple when they wanted to build Apple Park, and it was Steve Jobs' last public appearance. And the guy on the council was all over him saying, "I've got an iPad. I love you." And I'm thinking, yeah, there's no way this is getting denied. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, good grief. He was so creepy. Anyway. It must have been approved at council level. There was a smell. So people are going around the Walmart not feeling too well, particularly the employees who were working there all day. There was a smell. So they're trying to track this smell down. They track it down. They know exactly what it is. So they start putting in these like vents. What was the issue? Oh, the issue was this entire plot of land had been a dump. And what they'd done was just like thrown some soil on the top of it and call it done. So the smell was methane gas. And the employees were getting sick. So they put these, they were like boreholes down to where the methane was coming from. And then like a chimney up the side of the building. So the methane disappeared into the air. Which was fine until all of the roads, so the buildings themselves were okay. They had deep foundations, they were okay. But the roads were just like, we'd say tarmac, I don't know what you call it, but like basically tar mixed with stones that you just pour down. Those were the roads all the way around these buildings, and they started to sink. And when I say sink, we're not talking like a pothole of an inch. He went round the side, the guy who was doing the video, and I was just incredulous. There was a set of steps that finished in midair, and he said that's how far it sunk. It must have been at least 14 inches. And what they'd done now this ladder doesn't go to the ground, they just poured some more tarmac on the top of it. So the two met. You could actually see a tide mark on the side of the building where the road had been, and it just sank. And as he went a bit closer, and I thought I wouldn't get any closer if I were you, he got closer to the side of the building, and he pointed the camera down, and there was this huge crevice between the road and the building, and you could see the foundations of the building. The road was just sinking into this cesspit that they'd built the thing on. Needless to say, it only rained 3 years. Walmart, nobody else would move in, and Walmart moved out. So there's just this empty shell of a Walmart with all these chimneys all over the place to vent the methane. And you think, how does this happen? And then you look at the politicians and COVID and you think, yeah, that is how this happens. That's what I was saying about there's nothing. There are numbers to see. There are graphs to see of the number of people who are dying. But you kind of look at it and you start rationalising. Oh, well, you know, it was a bit of a bad winter that. They can rationalise it away. But when there's something physical like this methane tower and a gaping chasm, they can kind of hide it less. Heaven knows what they're going to do with this place. I assume it could be tidied up, but you'd have to knock everything down and start again. Unbelievable.
Isn't Washington, D.C. near where Kim lives?
I think it is. Near Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know where Seattle is. I know exactly where that is on a map. And do you know what? It doesn't move. Unlike Hawaii.
Sarah lived in Washington, D.C.
Must be the place to live. Oh, there's a map there from Paul. Let me grab hold of that. Yeah, it's been interesting watching these videos, Paul, as to how different some of them are to what we have, and yet some of them are the same. And I think we probably got the idea from you, but the thing that did strike me was, Ours don't tend to die as fast as yours do. And I'm wondering why. I mean, the Trafford Centre has been built 20...
No, I've been corrected.
No, you're in the wrong place, wrong side of the country.
Three times I've been corrected.
Wrong bit, Mike. He only went into Chicago. That's the only bit he knows. And Atlanta. No, the Trafford Centre's been open 22 years and it just seems to grow. But I think it's probably because there's a lack of competition. To build something as big as the Trafford Centre is a huge undertaking. And they don't pop up like mushrooms. But in the States, they seem to. They do seem to appear and just as quickly disappear. What fascinates me is surely somebody owns that land. And if they own the land, don't they need to pay money to a council somewhere? Like a land tax. How are they making their money if they can't rent the place out or build on it? It doesn't make sense. Another one that was on the same channel was a Days Inn. And it was abandoned. And you should have seen the state of it. It literally looked like you would imagine in a film where Armageddon happened. And there was no time to even close the filing cabinet drawers. Which is why there's this huge genre for urban decay. But, I mean, we have urban decay here, but our stuff's probably way older than that. We would have, like, a closed-down mill from 1918. We wouldn't particularly have a shopping centre closed down like that. There are some that look like they should be, but not that many because they weren't that big to start with. We'd call something a shopping centre if it had five shops in it. So you can imagine the scale difference. But that video, definitely have a watch of it, Paul. How are they paying the property taxes if they're not renting it out? Where's the money coming from? One of them defaulted on it and the council ended up owning it. And then they had to try and make some money back from it. And it was something to do with they put it up for auction and the starting price was what was owed in taxes. And then anything over that would have been a little bit of a profit for them. But still, this is what I'm like on YouTube. I find a genre and I'm off because it's fascinating. I think it's wonderful that they put stuff like this up that you can see from other countries. So you can think, oh, yeah, that's interesting because we built this and then we closed that. One of the ones recently that's been done, we had a shopping mall, one of the first in the Northwest. The Arndale Centre, it was known as, in Stretford. Then it became the Stretford Mall, trying to, you know, Americanize it, make it sound a bit more groovy. And the thing was, it was built in the, probably about 1973, 1974. They built it in orange brick. Actually, it was brick that they then put orange cladding on that looked like very tiny long bricks. They're probably about 10 inches by 4 inches, these bricks. Maybe a little bit smaller. And that's all over the outside of it. And it, boy, does it date it. So what they did with it about 2 years ago was they knocked the end off. They demolished the end. Put in like a lot of greenery. Got rid of half the car park to do it. And like put a new end on it. So it's a little bit smaller. And I think they did get rid of all the bricks, didn't they? The orange bricks.
Mm.
I think they covered them up with something. But you understand why they're doing it when you see what happens in the States if they don't keep up with it. People weren't going there, but it's not surprising people weren't going there because the Trafford Centre is like 2 miles up the road. So they've built this almighty thing. The only people who were going to the one in Stretford, in fact, the crow flies, it's probably less than a mile, isn't it?
Probably, yes.
And there's great transport out to the Trafford Centre. I mean, there's coach trips to the Trafford Centre. It's that much of just a tourist attraction. It's crazy, utterly crazy. But this one needed different stores. That's what it needed. The people who were going there were people who couldn't travel, who lived locally. And they would go there, you know, and they would sit there all day for company and warmth. So they put this huge cafe area in the middle and that worked. But the rest of it was just terribly, terribly dated. And then one by one, the big shops, I wouldn't even say they were anchor shops. They were the bigger shops, but one by one they closed down. I mean, John Menzies went bust, didn't they?
Or they did,
got
yeah.
bought out. Woolworths closed down. And these were all the stores that were in there. I think the Tesco's moved out as well, didn't it? Because they had one Tesco's, in Stratford.
Yeah,
then.
Tesco's has gone.
So Tesco's built a huge store of their own that's probably bigger than the entire mall. They moved out. Wilco's moved out. I mean, the Willis should have left with no shops. So I could understand if that happened, you probably should knock it down and build something else. It was just the sheer number in Ohio, Paul. There was at least four from Ohio. And every time this guy started, he said, so I'm off to Ohio. And I thought, good grief, is there anything left there? Literally, every one. So I think there was definitely two that were malls. One was a school, one was a hotel. It was fascinating. It made fascinating watching. And if it had been your hometown, I think it would be even more interesting. Now, when I say hometown, obviously Ohio's huge. Ohio's probably 10 times the size of the UK. And it, what was funny was when they were talking about things, they said, it's only a 45-mile journey. Well, when I was a kid, when we went on holiday, we went somewhere that was 50 miles away. And they were treating 45 miles as if, well, yeah, well, you just go, don't you? And like 50 miles for us was a holiday. That's how tiny the UK is. But Blackpool's very different, isn't it, Mike? We do have fun at Blackpool. We do. Have I got a link? What's this a link to? Is it something I'm talking about or are we talking about Seattle now? Yeah, I think it's so sad, this downtown Seattle thing, because it looked beautiful. And then when you looked a little bit closer, there was all the social problems. So I really feel for you, Kim. It did look lovely. From the air, as they kind of went over with it, with, what do they call them? Those little helicopter
Link to the
things.
Video.
A link to the video. Right, I will get the link to the video. I'll put that in. Let me see. Is it still there? There it is. It is. All right, let's get that in. I do think it's that one. It's just fascinating to see it. And when you relate it to your own hometown and what's going on, you can see how it happens. But some of the things, just amazing, amazing. And I just thought, how does it happen? Because there's still tax to be paid. But apparently you can just default on it. And then they own it. It's bizarre. Oh, and you can also go into, is it Chapter 11 bankruptcy? Where they can't touch you and you can carry on like trading, but you're trading within this Chapter 11. And there was a Chapter 6 as well, all alien to me, but I got the gist of it. We don't have that here. We have voluntary and involuntary, don't we? Liquidations. Right. All my stuff's back in Notion. I've got 15 now instead of the 3. So, but I wouldn't try using it.
No, it's working again.
I wouldn't try using it, Mike. Try getting there and see if it's there for you. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got some stuff, have you?
Yeah.
We'll have to backfill all that now. Well, we use Notion to send the mail, as you know, when we've done the demo. The mail comes out of Scrivener and then I put it into Notion and Mike deals with it from there. But neither of us could get to Notion. So it was like, I'll put it on a floppy disk and transfer it across to you. Luckily, we have the black hole. That is why the black hole is so important. Because the black hole can be back-ended onto anything. So at the moment, it's on Google Drive. And it's only really on Google Drive because of managing the space, isn't it?
Mm.
But we could just as easily, with the flick of a switch, put it onto Dropbox or Box or pCloud. Or internal if we needed to, if things were that bad. So that's why it's good to have a flexible system like that. But at the moment, Google Drive's holding up, fingers crossed. They had their own issues a while back, didn't they, when YouTube went down. The black hole is so good because it's a concept rather than being something specific. At the very, very beginning, it was something specific and it relied on a specific app. And then the app broke and it was like, oh, darn it. You know, now I need to think of something else. But because what we built was a flexible solution, but it does need documenting. So we know, how are we doing this today? How are we actually pondering this today? We've been able to keep it flexible and application independent, but still call it the black hole. Because if we start calling it something else, we're not going to have a clue what we're talking about. So the black hole is a principle of data transfer, which came in handy today. It's a good job it was actually there so you could just switch to it. So we just, like, one thing I said, I've texted it you. And then another Mike said, I've stuck it in the black hole. And then you instantly know where it all is. It comes It comes in absolutely essential when you're working with somebody else. I'll tell you that. Some of the stuff's on his machine and some's on mine. Oh, lucky us. Boris is warming up for us, apparently. I reckon I'm going to get 100% on that bingo thing, you know. Oh, I will definitely be looking at that. If you haven't heard, Scotland's gone into lockdown till the end of January. So all the schools are shut, the universities are shut, the whole lot. Wouldn't it be tricky if you were an English student going to a Scottish university?
Mm.
Like Prince William did, because you can't get into the country. I wonder if Ivan's going to mail again when it's working.
I was just thinking that.
Because I wouldn't trust this until it was. Somebody who works with AWS, Amazon Services, said, that's it, I wouldn't trust it for 24 hours. It'll take 24 hours from the point they say it's fixed to be able to trust it without it caching and recaching and potentially deleting data, which is marvellous, isn't it? You know, because we run everything on Notion.
Didn't realise how dependent I am on Notion until it went down today.
Oh, I did. As soon as I saw it was down, I thought, oh, dear. Oh, dear. And I started thinking of all the things I couldn't do. I thought, well, I was supposed to be doing that. Well, I'll do that. I know I can't do that. My saving grace is that Rome's not down. Rome is purring away quite happily. So at least I can put my notes in there. The other one that I would use instead to capture stuff while I'm trying to fix something is Drafts. And you might want to sit down here. I always do. Drafts uses iCloud to sync. So that's always an adventure. It's always very entertaining. And it's always, where's my stuff? When I was installing the new machine, it wasn't working right. And I'm looking at like three different machines and the note count was different on each one. And I'm like, well, what's missing? I ended up having to recreate them on machine number two from machine number one. There are no words. This is what happens when you have to rely on somebody else. But there's no point in putting that on like one machine. Is there? Because if you don't, then you've got to think about backups. You've got to think about getting it onto other clouds, or, you know, onto other machines via some method. So yes, you could do it internally, but then you'd have to set up servers inside. Oh, the whole thing's a nightmare. Yes, you know Boris, he's always late. You're quite right, he's always late. He'll probably appear tomorrow breakfast. Kim had a good laugh while watching Keeping Up Appearances as they said, hold on to your braces, and I knew what they were talking about. That was a classic, wasn't it? Braces and, we had the whole lot. It's suspenders. Oh, yes, we had the whole lot. We've learnt a lot, haven't we, cross-culturally? And you wouldn't think that you would. Because we speak the same language. Things should not be as different, but oh boy, they are. Isn't the video crazy? When you see it empty and it looked so beautiful in its day. And you think, where are all the people going? One of the ones that got knocked down that I watched ended up, they did manage to get rid of the land, which paid off the 1.05 million tax on it. And then it said, and I thought I had to agree with this, it was prophetic what happened to it. You saw it afterwards and it had got this huge building on it, but there wasn't much in the way of branding. I think it was branded a little bit, but it wasn't over branded, and it was massive. It was the size of the entire mall that had been there. And it said, and this is what it looks like now. A company moved in. They didn't tell you who. Said a company moved in and it totally revitalised the entire community. It created 2,500 jobs, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, and the prophetic part, it was Amazon. Amazon moved in and created this distribution centre. And they were saying that, you know, it was the Amazon effect that had caused the downturn in retail. But it was only a certain kind of retail. And obviously, the mall got nuked, got replaced, the entire size of it and then some, with a distribution centre for Amazon, which is crazy, isn't it? When you think, my first Amazon order was 1997, I think, just before Christmas, 1997. And I'd heard of this place online that you could get books. And I went up and they had the book that I wanted and I placed an order. Oh, they cared about their customers then. They sent you Christmas cards. They sent you Christmas presents. It was amazing. Now, obviously, I have placed quite a lot of Amazon orders. And they own my beloved Audible. And you all know how I love my Audible books. But I still think it's quite sad. We're very lucky that we have a distribution centre locally and we have the Trafford Centre that people seem to go to for entertainment, which I don't. But it's there if you want to. We get the best of both worlds. So we're incredibly lucky. Is Boris on his feet yet? No, they're in Wales talking about the Welsh restrictions. I don't see this making any difference. Whatever tier he puts us in, unless he makes it illegal to walk the street and he'll put the army out and if you do, he'll shoot you. I don't see it making any difference whatsoever. People are fed up of it. You know, New Year, they wanted good news, the vaccine and everything. And yet we are actually in a worse place than we were last March in terms of number of deaths, the lot. Today we had 58,000 new cases. That, by comparison to March, in March we might have had like 900 new cases a day. 58,000. The deaths were 417, I think. But it's a Monday. So wait till Wednesday. And that will include the deaths from the weekend. So we'll probably top the 1,000 by Wednesday per day, I would expect. But what can you do? Can we do it where if anyone is out without permission, the army shoot bongo? Do you know, that might tempt people out, though. Maybe we should do it in the reverse. I can't wait to see what he's got to say, because yesterday on that TV programme, I only saw the highlights, managed to sleep through the whole thing. He looked worried. He looked uncertain. He didn't look like his usual blustering self. I thought he actually did look like, I'm going to have to shut the schools and I'm going to look an idiot. I mean, he's been looking an idiot since forever, but more so than usual. If they close the schools, it would make a huge difference to family life. I guess it will. There's no way it can't, because someone's going to have to look after the children. And most people, both of them work. There's no way around that. You know, if you have kids, you don't have to look after them. It's as simple as that. I gave up work to look after Maya. I gave up going out to work. I started working from home because that was my responsibility. And I took that responsibility very seriously. But I think people assume when the kids get to 5, that's it. They're going to school and you can have a time off. You can't. You can't ever rely on anything now. I did see an article this morning that said, is global pandemics the new normal? Because I'm thinking, when's the next one coming? When you see the state of the
when you least expect
it. Well, that's true, yeah. Well, actually, I am expecting it, Mike. It's just a matter of when. Then we need to do all the vaccine thing again. We're all going to be walking around with 3 heads, aren't we, and 4 tails at this rate, with all these vaccines, especially when they start mixing them. Oh, they had a Pfizer. Oh, no, let's give them an Oxford. It'll be fine. Can't wait for it. Anyway, we are going to head off now. We'll get some popcorn out, feet up, bingo cards in hand. We will expect you to do the same, and we will meet up on the blasted heath, same time, same place tomorrow, and see who won. I think we might all win. I think he'll cover everything on the board and then some. I really do. We'll see how that goes. So Simon says, just like Trump and the US election votes, the truth will out when the rubber meets the road. Well, I thought with that one, Simon was like, honestly, can't he be impeached for that? Or is it too late? Because that's really bad form. But never mind.
This is like when they're in the 50s.
We'll all gather around the TV.
Wireless. Aye. Gather around wireless.
We will. It'll be great. We will have fun, Kim. Hopefully you'll get to hear what goes on. And we're heading over to Boris right now. So we'll say goodnight to you and do enjoy yourself. But for the moment, from me, I'm saying goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
We'll both see you next time. Stay safe out there, guys.